Whatever happened to Eagle Eye Cherry? That's what I would like to know. Wendy Snyder sitting in for Lisa Dent this afternoon, and it's getting to be that time. We need to get our yards, our gardens ready to roll for summer. So joining us now is Dan Costa, horticulturist with Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale, Illinois. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Hello, Wendy.
All right.
What's your day today?
I'm having a good day. It's sunny. It's beautiful. And I've realized that I have Annabelle hydrangea in the front of my house. And I like to leave the flowers throughout the winter because they look really nice with the snowfall. I forgot to prune them, to deadhead them, and it's already started to bloom. Not flowers, but the greenery's there. I still have time. If I do that this weekend, I'm still good, right?
Yeah, I'll be doing the same thing.
people do that with ornamental grasses as well, is leave them go so there's something to look at in the winter. And as long as you cut them down, did I ruin it or do I have time?
No. The ornamental grasses you should cut down before the new growth starts, because otherwise you'll have all the green mingling in with the brown from last year, and it'll be an awful job to separate it out. But with the hydrangeas, no problem taking off the old flowers now.
And there are different kinds. Like, I know the Annabelle, I believe they bloom on old wood. Is that true?
No, they bloom on new wood.
On new wood?
Yeah, the white ones all bloom on new.
On new wood, okay. Mm-hmm. And, all right, so I will take the dead flowers off. And to shape them, because Annabelles are so really heavy, that it was suggested to me to like kind of shape them so it's a little higher in the middle and then goes down like a snowball, maybe, if you're pruning them.
Yeah, if you confirm that way, that's fine. Yeah, they do need a little bit of shaping a lot of times.
Yeah, they do kind of get out of control. All right.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, those cicadas are coming, Dan, and I know Vern Goer's Greenhouse has a lot of plants out there and trees. Are you guys going to put nets over everything?
Well, we don't actually sell trees, but it's not...
Shrubs.
You can put netting over, over younger trees and things that have been planted like maybe in the last year or so. The cicadas are going to go on branches that are about a quarter inch thick, so about the thickness of a pencil. That's where the females are going to be laying their eggs into those branches. So you can cover that with a netting to keep the females off of there, and that way it won't cause any damage. But they're not going to destroy the tree.
All right, that's good to know, because I think we planted a cornelian cherry tree one of the years that the cicadas came, and I just noticed like little slits in the branches, but it still grew and did pretty well. So it's not going to kill the tree, right?
Oh, no, it's never going to. They can't kill a tree.
All right. All right, that is good to know. So if you don't put netting over it, what about tomato plants? Because I will probably be planting around Memorial Day. Are the cicadas going to bother them?
No, cicadas have no interest in that type of a plant.
Really?
They're not going to bother them at all.
All right, that is good to know. Dan, we have a listener who has a question for you. Chip is calling us, 312-981-7200. Chip, this is Dan Costa.
Hey, Dan. I've got a question about tulips. Hundreds of tulips in the front yard, and now they're done.
Okay.
So when do you cut those back? We always let them go so they look pretty brown and raggedy. But when do you actually
right
cut
now,
them
if
back?
If there's any seed pods developed on the tops of the stems, take those off, but leave the foliage up until the foliage naturally turns yellow, and then you can take it down.
Okay, and
that's what we do.
I've heard that people sometimes like rubber band them. Is there any reason to do that?
It's not a good idea to rubber band or braid, like they say that a lot on daffodils. You don't want to do that because you want to leave as much of the leaf exposed to the sun for photosynthesis as possible, and it makes the plant stronger. When you gather them up and everything, then you're compressing the leaves, and you don't get as much light in on the leaves, so it doesn't give the strength to the plant.
Interesting. See, that's why you're a horticulturist and I'm a gardener. All right, Chip, I hope you got that answer. When the leaves start turning yellow, that would be the time. But you don't pull them up, you just cut them back, correct, with the tulips?
Yeah, actually, when they get real good and yellow, you can just yank on the stem. It'll come right out by itself.
Okay.
I'm really bummed about the daffodils because they just flop all over. I love rubber banding them.
Oh, you used to do the rubber band thing.
Because it cleans everything up. Otherwise, they're just like, they take up the rest of the garden and they look terrible.
Yeah.
And they do last for a while, I know that. But the more leaves you can leave exposed, the better.
All right. I am inundated with violets. I think they're violets. How do I get rid of them, and do I want to get rid of them?
They're quite difficult to get rid of. They're one of the more tenacious weeds. Usually it'll take two applications, at least, of a herbicide. But you've got to check to make sure you're getting an herbicide that's listed for the violets. Just any one off the shelf may not do. And you got to treat them like now, and then maybe another 2-3 weeks, give them another second treatment. But they're not easy to get rid of. Sometimes it's best just to take and go dig them out.
All right. Some of them are pretty, but they've really, like, gone in places. When I first did my landscaping in the front, I did it myself, and I was very good at mulching, and the plants were spaced apart, and now it looks like it's a jungle in there. So,
oh, yeah. I got a lot of the lawn violets, too. I know they can be quite invasive.
Yeah. All right. Somebody, 630, has texted in, Dan, what about rose bushes and cicadas? Do those need to be covered?
I wouldn't think so. They're not tall. The cicada wants something that they can climb up on and be safe from predators.
Oh, so anything low to the ground?
Yeah, anything short like that, they're not likely to go on there.
Yeah, I mean, they could, but it's not going to hurt them.
I won't say 100% they won't go on there, but most likely they're not.
Okay, someone has suggested, and let's see what a horticulturist has to say. Bertrand, this is for you. To hide daffodil leaves, plant something like alyssum in front of them. Your thoughts, Dan?
Sure, you can do that.
See?
That will camouflage you a little bit.
But wait, isn't alyssum that low ground-hugging flower?
It's white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, white, pink, purple. But yeah, that will at least make it look a little better. Give you something to look at besides the leaves of the daffodil.
Well, that's what my dandelions are for.
I have so many dandelions. All right, Dan, we're going to take a quick break, and then Ann, I hope you can hold on. She has a gardening question, and we are right here, 312-981-7200. We're talking to Dan Costa, horticulturist with Verngoers Greenhouse in Hinsdale, Illinois. And Steve's news is coming up next here on 720 WGN. Friday to you. The weekend is upon us. It's almost here, people. It's Wendy Snyder in for Lisa Dent. I like to call myself Garden Girl because I like to plant tomatoes in the yard, maybe some cucumbers. And we're talking to Dan Costa today, a horticulturist with Verngoers Greenhouse in Hinsdale. And Dan, thanks for holding on through the news. And Ann has a question for you right away. Hi, Ann. Hey. Dan Costa on the line.
Hey there, Wendy, and hi there, Dan. And okay, hello. I'll try and be really brief. I bought for my grandson, who is 5, he's on the autism spectrum, and he just loves the outdoors. His favorite book is The Very Hungry Caterpillar. And I bought this cute thing for his Easter basket. It's in a bag. It's called a pollinator garden. And among other things, it has echinacea and phlox, something called crocosmia or crocosmia. Anyway, some other things. Is it? And, of course, we never got around. I'm his gammy. We never got around to planting those. So is it too late to plant those? And for anybody else listening who might have grandchildren or little ones, I found the best book called Cecily Cicada.
Oh.
And it's the 2021 edition, when I forget if it was the 17-year brood or the 13-year brood was going to be coming up. And I think there might be a 2024 edition as well for both broods. But anyway, it's such a cute book. And, you know, these littles are going to be seeing all these, like, shells.
Yeah.
If you want to call them that, on the trees, and these really weird-looking things with the wings and the red eyes. But it really presents it in a very palatable way for little kids. And so I ordered that on Amazon and sent that to my grandson, too.
All right,
anyway,
so cute.
So my question for you, Dan, is it too late to plant bulbs, and will the squirrels just, like, dig them up and eat them?
No, you got them this year. There's no problem. You should be able to plant them just fine.
But bulbs, aren't you supposed to plant bulbs in the fall?
No, those are perennials that she's talking about. So that's not a problem.
So, yeah, you can do it.
Sure, go right ahead.
And also, thanks for the tip for Cecily Cicada, because that sounds like a really cute book. All right, somebody has texted and someone else has called in and said, Creeping Charlie, help. That, talk about violets taking things over. Creeping Charlie's pretty bad as well.
Yeah, it's basically the same as with the violets. Make sure you're finding an herbicide that's listed on the label for Creeping Charlie. While it's in bloom right now is a great time to start spraying, but you will have to spray at least two times. And so give it a spray now in bloom, give it another spray maybe in about another 2 weeks. If it doesn't totally eradicate it, then I would give it a spray in the fall right after a frost, after the first frost. And then the following spring again, you might have to spray it one more time in bloom. But it's not an easy one to get rid of.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes there was such a patchy area in my yard that as long as it was green, I didn't really care what it was.
Yeah. You know, that Creeping Charlie was actually brought here intentionally to be a ground cover, and it sure has done its job.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, speaking of the yard, I noticed when we were away for a week and it wasn't cut, the grass is growing in, like, it looks like there's a bunch of different tufts of grass, like some are higher than the others. Why does it do that at the beginning of the season?
Could be a visiting dog. Sometimes where the dog goes, grass grows. It also could be different varieties in there.
Yeah.
You might have a clumping of a clumping fescue or something.
Oh, that's true. It's, yeah, because we, you know, whenever there's a hole or something, I just put some kind of, you know, grass seed there.
Yeah, it could be a different type of a grass right there.
Ask Dan from 217, ask Dan what fragrant, hardy vine we can plant on a sunny slope. Thank you. Any suggestions, Dan?
Yeah, there's a type of a honeysuckle called Scentsational, as in S-C-E-N-T-sational. Very fragrant, and it loves the sun. It's a good grower.
Okay, Scentsational.
We carry it at Gore's. We have it here.
Vern Goer's greenhouse, it is on, what street are you on?
5620 South Oak Street in Hinsdale.
It's Oak, yes. I always get those streets mixed up. I just know when to turn to get there. And so, again, I have to ask you this. Tomato plants, don't buy the tall ones with yellow flowers on them. But that's what you told me. But why?
Because those are, they've been sitting in the pots for a while. They've gotten used to being in the pot and everything. And so when you transplant something like that to more established, it's more of a shock to the plant. You know, it's the old guy doesn't like to be disturbed anymore.
Yeah.
But the younger plant, the smaller plants, they go through it with no problem at all. It's just like, oh, okay, I got to change. Big deal.
So you're not going to beat yourself to an actual fruit by getting the bigger plants with the flowers on them?
Yeah, that's actually true.
Okay.
Because the more times something has been transplanted, each time you transplant, it sets it back a little bit. So the stuff that's been in the bigger pots has been transplanted at least twice, whereas the stuff in the little containers has only been transplanted once.
All right. Well, we learn a lot from you, Dan, and my ficus Audrey is doing great. And
good.
Yeah, and you guys also have bonsai plants, too, and we'll talk about that in the winter. But in the meantime, happy planting. We'll see you for some tomato plants.
Okay, Wendy, looking forward to seeing you.
All right, Dan Costa, rhymes with hosta, and horticulturist with Vern Goer's Greenhouse in Hinsdale, Illinois. And Mary has a look at your weather and traffic.